The Marvel Cinematic Universe is a collection of movies that are loosely based on the Marvel comic books. I'm Junior.
And I'm Marcus.
Let's talk about it. Okay, so 2021, sorry, 2020, Hellstrom was the only thing MCU related that came out. And Marcus and I had no idea this had anything to do with the MCU. Zero. So my favorite part of Hellstrom was the part where I didn't watch it. 2021, Black Widow. Okay, now this movie is really interesting because...
I remember it. It was really good.
I know. Right?
Yeah,
I love the scene where Red Guardian throws his shield just like Captain America.
Oh my gosh, yes.
And then Black Widow catches it.
My favorite part is when Black Widow does that signature Black Widow thing where she jumps onto the guy's neck and then breaks it.
Breaks it with her legs.
With their legs.
But what's really cool is when Yelena, who's the other Black Widow
the
in this
movie.
Yes,
yeah.
You know, yeah. She jumps at the same time as Black Widow, so they kind of like link their legs together
and
then
they break it, right?
That's the
crazy.
Best scene in the movie.
It's actually wild.
And then Taskmaster, turns out Taskmaster's a girl in this one.
Mm.
And it was her training master the whole time, Adam M from Age of Ultron, the
That's
flashback.
Right.
You're not right. I got that right, and Adam M or Madam B, it's one of those. I know I'm right. I know I'm right because of the Lego video games. But you have to unlock her. It's stupid. Anyway, Black Widow. Red Guardian, when he sacrifices himself and he's like, hey, I just want you to know before I go, there was this Canadian branch of our team called the Alpha Flight and this weird chap named Logan. If ever you see him, send him my regards. Something like that. And then the post-credit scene where you see the Black Widow shower scene.
Yeah, bro. Honestly, I didn't think that they were going to show full frontal in an MCU movie. But guess what? The fans wanted it. They wanted
Natasha. COVID.
They
got to give something for COVID.
That's
right?
True. That's true. And it's not gonna be. It's not in theaters. It's online.
Mm-hmm.
So it's less likely for kids to see the boobs.
It's true. The next movie is Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings.
All right. So okay.
Go ahead.
Let me tell you about this one. So Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. Right. Great movie. Great film. Fantastic. It's actually what I wanted Iron Fist to be.
Iron Fist, okay.
Yeah, no, you know the show Iron Fist, how it's all Sun Kung Lun and mm-hmm. he's like a martial artist, whatever, right? I really didn't like how it was whitewashed, you know? Danny Rand,
yeah.
White guy, and mm-hmm. he's appropriating like Asian culture. But Shang-Chi, bro, mm-hmm. Shang-Chi out here in Chinatown, oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so his mom owns a fish market,
so
right?
Hold up, he's in America.
Yeah, Shang-Chi, it starts in America, right?
Okay.
So it's in Chinatown. So his
right.
mom owns a fish market,
okay.
right? Okay. And, you know, selling fish or whatever, right? And then the fish market gets blown up, right? By the Ten Rings. It's crazy, bro. How do you not remember this? Anyways, so Shang-Chi's all like, yo, where the Ten Rings at, right? And he saves up all of his money, right? There's a five-year time skip because, you know,
you're right,
Marvel,
right?
right?
Mm-hmm.
They're so weird with their time skips. But there's a five-year time skip, and he saves up all of his money, right? And he finally finds out where the Ten Rings are, right? And he goes all the way to China, right? And then he goes to, like, Kun Lun, and he meets, like, the Foot. It's crazy.
Oh, bro.
It's a wild movie.
I especially
he
like...
He hugs a dragon, bro.
Yeah. He might as well be Iron Fist.
He doesn't
Fist.
Get the Iron Fist power, though. He just hugs a dragon.
I loved the cameo for the Mandarin. Turns out it's Jackie Chan.
Bro!
I couldn't believe it.
I was shook.
I'm like, who else would you pick to play the Mandarin?
Well, but did you see in the background of that scene, in the picture behind the Mandarin was his dad, Jet Li? How?
I guess it's they age like Namekians.
Yeah,
where...
They must! They must. I don't know what's in this Ten Rings powder.
Ten Rings, bro. Ten Rings powder.
Ten Rings powder, bro. All
right,
it's
and
like,
then
it's like Gatorade, you know.
All the colors of Gatorade.
Yeah, yeah.
So obviously, the rest of the MCU is going to be about the Ten Rings rather than the Infinity Stones.
Exactly.
So you know they went like the Dragon Balls. They like kind of spread across the Earth.
It's kind of like you know how in Sonic, right? He's got the gemstones,
mm-hmm. the Chaos Emeralds.
The Chaos Emeralds, yeah. but he has multiples of rings,
mm-hmm.
right? It just switch that around.
Right.
Yeah.
No, it makes
so,
perfect
like,
sense.
The Infinity Stones are like the Chaos Emeralds, right? They're just like everywhere now, but mm-hmm. 10 rings, that's what you want.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, and then we have the Eternals.
Yeah, okay, so the Eternals.
You know, I didn't really like this one.
Honestly, weak.
Yeah.
Very weak.
Yeah.
You know, like, the only reference we have of Eternals is from Guardians or whatever, and, like...
Yeah, and it was so loose. And the thing that really held this back, it's like they were trying to recycle the Inhumans again.
Exactly!
Right? It's like, we don't care about the Inhumans, no one cares about the Eternals. It was cool to see the Living Tribunal. He didn't have three faces, though.
No.
Which is just lame. What are you doing? Weird.
They made him a guy.
Yeah.
Just a guy.
Just a dude.
Like, why?
And he wasn't even tall. Like, you'd think he would be like a skyscraper
or
something, right?
It would be a giant man.
Yeah.
You know, like Ant-Man did. But no, too expensive. Too expensive.
Yeah, just like Ant-Man. That's funny.
But yeah, so the Eternals, they had the Infinity Stones, right? Like, this is like, it's like.
I think the plot was that they wanted to craft the Infinity Stones. Yes, you're thinking the post-credit scenes.
You're right. Mm-hmm. So they wanted to craft them, right? Mm-hmm. But like remake them. Because the Infinity Stones are from the Dawn of Time, no?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah, they created
the
original ones.
And
yeah.
They're like, yo, we want to make more, right? Mm-hmm. And that's like the whole thing. And
that's pretty much it.
And honestly, it just feels it feels contrived because mm-hmm. like we already had Endgame, we already had Infinity War.
We already had Infinity Stones.
We don't need Infinity Stones anymore.
We got the ten rings.
We
got the 10 rings. What are
we
you
have
doing?
The 10 rings.
Marvel's like, getting lazy, bro.
They're actually getting so lazy.
Yeah.
Like,
season 4. You know, 4 means death in Chinese. Next, 2021, same year, Spider-Man No Way Home.
Isn't this the one where Peter breaks up with MJ?
Yeah, and then like we finally get Gwen Stacy. I guess they didn't learn their lesson from Spider-Man 3. Don't do that.
Nope.
Eddie Brock is introduced in this one as well, and Flash Thompson though is the one who gets the symbiote.
Really? I don't remember that.
Right, and the reason why it's called No Way Home is because. Well. Peter discovers that he's gay, but Aunt May is not cool with it.
Oh,
that's why it's called No
Way Home.
And you know, it's interesting how they dealt with even Aunt May's relationship with Peter. You know, coming out of the closet. I thought that was really emotional.
You know what?
I know a lot of kids are gonna really.
You know what really blew me away? How they dealt with Aunt May telling Peter about Uncle Ben being gay. You know,
and like the revelation that Uncle Ben never died, he just left.
He just left because he.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She felt betrayed. Yeah.
Being in love with Uncle Ben for so long, she kicked him out.
This felt like more of an Aunt May movie, but honestly, I think it was worth it. It's good to see Marvel isn't afraid to shy away from drama sometimes.
Would you say it's the best Spider-Man in the MCU movie?
Oh, by far.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, without a doubt. Definitely.
Yo, the parts where the ex-Spider-Man show up. Oh my God!
I think you're saying a little too much, though. You can't say it.
But like, and then Sam Raimi.
I know, and then you're gonna get a sick crossover. It's gonna be called.
Yo, and then Jamie Foxx, bro.
Or they'll call it Spider-Man Finally Home because Peter, Tobey Maguire's back.
Oh,
yeah,
true.
Finally Home. And now we have WandaVision. Oh, all right. So WandaVision was 9 episodes of like long TV, and it was like 5 episodes of hey, we're in the 50s, then 60s, then 70s, then 80s, then 90s, then 2000s. And I love that they stopped at the 2000s because that implies that there is no iconic thing from the 2010s. Because what would you do?
Nah, they did Modern Family, but like that was literally 2000.
Yeah, it was like Modern Family and The Office, right?
Yeah.
Like the theme song was kind of
It's like 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
To 9. That's literally it.
Yeah.
You're right. There's nothing iconic in 2010.
Nothing.
Unless they were going to do a reality show.
Jersey Shore is what came to my mind, honestly.
Or Keeping Up with the Kardashians
or something. Yeah. That's what came
to
my mind. Like reality would be the only way. And I kind of wish they did.
Me too. I think it would have been so funny.
Would have been hilarious.
So funny if for some reason the Hex turned into a reality show. So rather than just being stuck, like, they're still stuck. I can't even imagine how that would work.
No. Okay, so real talk. I did not really like WandaVision. The biggest problem I have with it is that so much of the early parts, it's just like, ooh, there's a mystery going on, you know, something wicked this way comes, right? And I noticed that Agatha was there the whole time.
Yeah.
Right, and I'm like, she's probably important.
Yeah.
That's what I kept telling myself. I'm like, she's probably important. Then I'm like, if I looked up her name, I'm sure I'd find some Marvel character that she is.
Yeah.
But I'm just gonna wait. I'm just gonna wait. Just pay attention to her, right?
Yeah.
And then when she pulled out the dead dog, I'm like, is she the bad guy?
Yeah.
Okay, this is me without, because I didn't know anything about Agatha Harkness until this show. And then when it turns out that it was her, it was Agatha all along, right? That was a great song, by the way. Fantastic. All the music was good. Even the Malcolm in the Middle song that they made. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. It was really, it was perfect. It just,
bro,
it felt so much.
The fact that they had Malcolm in the Middle on.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah.
What a callback.
Honestly.
Nobody talks about that show.
No, seriously.
Upsetting.
And Quicksilver is not actually Quicksilver. Okay, okay. I had an argument with somebody during a live stream about, his name is Madness Arcade. Sorry, their name is Madness Arcade. I actually don't know what they are. But
yeah, don't assume they're gender, Junior.
You're all men till you tell me otherwise. I said that in a live stream. It's a callback to a joke.
Okay.
It was a joke where I'm like, there's only one gender, the human gender. Anyway, yeah, so it's really funny because I said, you know that these shows aren't going to matter for the MCU, right?
Yeah.
And they're like, no, but Kevin Feige said that it will affect the movies. And I said, he said the same thing about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Guess what? He lied, right? And here's the thing. If anything happens with these movies, I thought, oh, Quicksilver's back because it's the Quicksilver from Fox.
Yeah.
Turns out, no.
Nope.
Agatha Harkness might come back just to tell, what's her face, Scarlet Witch about ruins. That's about it.
Yeah.
Just information that she's gone.
Yeah.
The twins, Scarlet Witch might say, hey, my kid's Wicca and Wiccan, and I don't remember what the other kid's hero name is. But the other kid is Wiccan. I know that.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that because I read that comic book where she has a kid.
Mm.
I don't know who the other one is, though. And then we learned that Scarlet Witch is actually Scarlet Witch and not just in name only kind of thing. Yeah. She already had her probability manipulation powers. And it's like, okay, well, what did we actually learn?
Nothing really.
White Vision?
That's not learning anything.
No. Well, White Vision's a thing, and then Vision might put himself into White Vision, or Wanda might put her Vision into White Vision.
Well, I'm pretty sure White Vision is Vision. Like, that moment of the whole
thing. I love that discussion, how it's like a big fight ensues between Vision and Vision, and they put their hands in each other, and they put them out, and then it's like they're flying, and then it's like, are you familiar with this person's boat thing? Mm-hmm. And then the other White Vision's like, elaborate.
Of course I am. What the hell does that do with anything?
Yeah,
right now?
And then it's like, no, hang on, hear me out.
So, all right, you got a boat, right? You got another boat, right?
No.
You got one boat.
You got another boat. Actually, hold on.
Vision, wait.
Chill, fam.
No, you got one boat, right? Then you take all those pieces away from the boat and you put that boat back together, right? Is it still the same boat?
Yeah.
All right. But then you burn the boat and then you put it back together with new pieces. Is it the same boat still?
And then the Vision's like, so what you're telling me is, it's like, yes, it's like your Vision. And I'm surprised White Vision didn't just kill himself.
Kill himself.
Oh. It's like, his mission is to destroy Vision, yeah. But he's Vision.
Yeah.
So why didn't... That's what I thought was going to happen. And then he just dips.
Yeah, no.
That's it.
It's very funny because, like, they mind meld, right?
Yeah.
And White Vision kind of leaves as White Vision. But I assume that he'll fly away and change his color. Because
he's going to come back.
Vision can definitely change his color.
Yep.
He's always been able to do that. I don't know why he stayed white.
How did the Mind Stone power go into a technological being? I guess Vision is one, though, right?
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, he's an AI.
Imagine
if I were to give you, like, all the world's knowledge, right? Sticking into your head. Then you would know all of that, right? But you'd also have, like, yourself, right?
Mm.
Now, imagine an AI, like an Android, right? That only knows how to do simple tasks, right? This is its prerogative, like,
mm-hmm.
This is what it does. And then you stick all the information of the world into it, right? Everything, like emotion, everything. That's what happened.
Mm. But yeah, Vision cries in this. That was surprising.
I don't get how that happens.
Well, he's not real.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, of course that can happen. Oh, and that's right. The whole thing, too. It's like none of this matters.
None of it's real.
Monica Rambeau shows up, and then she saves the twins who end up dying anyway. And then it's like, everyone's like, Monica Rambeau's going to show up in Ms. Marvel or Captain Marvel. And it's like, guess what? I don't care about either of those.
That's kind of random.
Sure.
So Monica Rambeau is cool. I liked how I liked the snap scene.
What snap scene?
When everyone comes back from the blip, in WandaVision, where Monica comes back and she just kind
of in the hospital. And she's like, "Where's my mom? She's been dead for 5 years."
I love it because I didn't see Homecoming before WandaVision, so the only thing I have of the blip is that.
Is that right? Interesting?
So everyone's coming back in, they're all panicking and whatnot. Everyone else's idea of the blip was hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
People come back into the gym. Basketball hits a kid.
Yeah, that was so funny.
Yo, the blip. The marching band's there. It's so funny.
It's really funny.
But yeah, that's the only thing I had to experience of the blip. WandaVision is. I liked WandaVision. You really like WandaVision. I feel like there could have been a lot more done in the show.
Same. That's my biggest problem with it. So much of it is just nothing.
Yes.
And it's like, it's cool that like, oh, we're developing these characters, we're growing with them and stuff like that. But like, I feel like, why not just develop the character? Why are we spending time in like these time periods?
Yeah.
Just because she watched these shows as a kid. Because that doesn't actually tell us anything about her character. All it tells us is that something is afoot. And we didn't need 5 episodes to tell us something is afoot.
One of the best things in that show was when Agatha brought up Wanda's accent.
See, but that's so stupid. Because it's like, you know, I know why they're doing that. They're doing it to be like, haha, that is funny. Her accent's gone. It's like, yeah but that doesn't change the fact that she screwed up. Also,
and then she keeps trying to do it.
Yeah, I know, which is the funnier part. Okay, but here's the other funny one. I said this in a live stream. I was like, isn't it weird that every time Wanda screams, she's always like,
Yeah.
Why does she scream like that? Just scream, Wanda.
Screams in Russian.
Screams in Russian. Okay.
Next.
The Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
I watched the first episode.
How was it?
Boring.
Nice. Loki. Yeah. What did you think?
So Falcon and the Winter Soldier, it takes a while for Bucky to show up. You might get upset by that. Watching the show, I had Defenders, Defenders syndrome through the whole thing, because like it starts with Falcon and he's got the shield, and then like he returns the shield to the government, and then Bucky's there, he's like making amends to all these people, making all these people that got rich off of Hydra, like making them get arrested and whatnot because he can't kill. Because he feels bad about all this stuff. That's about it. That's all the first episode is.
Why are we giving them a show? I don't get it.
I don't know, man.
Because it's like more soldiers, right? And also just like, already saw Captain America. Falcon's already Falcon.
At the end of it, they replace Captain America. There's a new Captain America that isn't Bucky or Falcon.
Oh.
Yeah. That's the only thing that...
I wonder if that will affect the movies in any way. Okay, Loki, this one is all right.
Loki, fire.
Yeah.
Loki, I think Loki could is actually a good show. Tom Hiddleston, solid actor. Mm-hmm. It's very cool how they go to different planets and whatnot, and like,
and they go back to Scourge or Sakaar.
Sakaar, yeah. It's really cool.
And when they turned him into the female Loki.
That really
surprised me.
That was shocking. Yeah. I didn't think they were going to call back to that comic book.
I know. It was very bold of Tom Hiddleston to actually go through, a transition just to play the role.
Yeah. It was crazy, right? So you know how they can't really have main characters in like these movies, right?
Yeah.
Thor was in it.
Yeah, but only he was briefly.
He was Frog Thor.
Oh, Throg. Throg.
So, like, that episode was pretty funny. I can't
lie. That was funny. I was over here thinking the Chris Hemsworth part, which is very brief.
It's
but no,
very
brief. The Throg
very
part, brief. Yeah. Maybe. I wonder, you think he did the ribbits?
like Groot, right?
Yeah, right?
Maybe. Honestly, I wouldn't put it past him.
Or they get Vin Diesel to do
to
the
do
ribbits.
The ribbits. Throg, played by Vin Diesel.
Yeah, we should check the cast for that later. Yeah. And then, same year, 2021, we have What If, which is, like, just the Marvel What If. So, when Peggy Carter gets the Iron Man suit in 1941, and then there was Black Panther being Star-Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. There was What If Wakanda was run by white people.
Yeah, there was What If Doctor Strange didn't crash.
Yep.
And he's just a doctor.
Yeah.
And it's like, what's that show? Scrubs?
It's House. It's literally House.
Yeah.
Rather than Doctor Strange, rather than House, it's Strange.
That was a pretty boring episode.
Yeah, nah.
Not gonna lie.
The What If series is interesting, just like sometimes it's hit or miss, you know?
Yeah, man.
Because like some of these What If questions are really stupid. No one cares. We don't want these answers.
If Black Panther was Star-Lord, it's like, all right, he flies to space.
Right?
And he meets Gamora, and he just, like, goes to Pound Town with her, and then they have, like, black-green babies. They just have dark-green, like, what am I watching?
If the What If Wakanda was all white was a very interesting episode. Because,
yeah, they were
like,
called the White Tigers, yeah, which is a callback to the comic book, White Tiger.
It was very interesting because, in turn, everyone else was black. The whole world was black.
It's almost as if, you know, all of race in Wakanda is what determines the race of everything else.
Exactly. Right? It's so weird how that works in the MCU.
Yeah, man. Luke Cage was white. But Iron Fist, Daredevil, Jessica Jones, who also make an appearance,
all
they were all black.
Black. Yeah. Every superhero was a minority.
Yeah.
It was crazy. Except for Black Panther.
I know. It's really, and they like changed a couple of people's names too.
Yeah.
Like Black T'Challa was Dwight.
Yep.
Jessica was Deidreanne.
Natasha was Nene.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was weird.
Very bold of Marvel to do that.
Quite, actually.
Then we have Ms. Marvel. So this is the story about Kamala Khan.
Oh.
So she's the first Muslim superhero, I think.
Yeah, something like that. I know.
Yeah. And she has stretchy powers.
Yeah. She's got, like, Fantastic Four powers.
Yeah, and she's a fangirl of, like, superheroes and stuff. And I guess this is the first time in the MCU we're getting that. A character who is, like, kind of self-aware of the stuff going on.
Yeah.
Right, she's like a child-friendly Deadpool in a way.
Yeah.
She doesn't break the fourth wall, though. I hate these kind of characters, but I will say they did a pretty decent job of not making her annoying.
Yeah.
Because like, that can get really annoying if she's like, oh, OMG, hey, right? And, you know, it's interesting, though. You can tell Marvel kind of shied away from talking about religion because it's like she's a Muslim, but she doesn't wear a hijab.
Yeah, no, she doesn't wear a hijab. Her mom doesn't wear a hijab. She doesn't go to a mosque ever.
Yeah.
It's very weird. Mm-hmm. It's very strange how she's just Muslim by words.
Okay, and then Hawkeye. So, this one's interesting because this is about Kate Bishop, which is Hawkeye's daughter. Remember he was teaching her at the Endgame?
She turned to dust. She did.
And unfortunately, she doesn't get unsnapped. So what Hawkeye is actually about, it's when he was going in Japan.
Yeah.
He goes back to Japan, right? Yeah. And it's like, I need to find something that's going to solve my daughter's death. Is there anything we can do? And guess what? Guess who shows up? Guess which brother rolls up? Ooh. The Mandarin with his 10 rings.
Oh!
Yeah. And then, see, it all comes back. You have to see Shang-Chi in order to understand
Hawkeye.
How Hawkeye gets Kate Bishop back.
Yeah. That's crazy. Yo. But yeah, that's not going to lie, guys. Hawkeye, whenever that one drops in 2021 this year, recommend. Big recommend.
Oh, definitely check
Hardcore
it out.
Recommend. Check that one
okay,
out.
Okay, so now we're on 2022, okay?
Yeah.
So we signed some NDAs.
Yeah, so the Janiak Jr., Junior Marcus Talk has been getting a little bit bigger. Directors have been sending out their films to us early to, you know, proof and make sure that everything that's in it is good and not too much, you know? And the 2022 and 2023 schedule of the MCU, we've seen it.
Yeah.
And we're about to tell you.
Yeah.
A little synopsis.
We'll try to be a little light on spoilers.
We don't want
to
spoil.
But we'll tell you a couple things, you know, maybe a couple spoilers, but
this
not all the spoilers.
Janiak,
it's just for
you
guys.
Fans, you know.
Thank you so much. So, Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. First of all, I love the callback to Mysterio in Spider-Man Far From Home.
Yes.
Where remember he's like, I'm from a different universe, right?
Yeah.
And it's so funny because he says 616, but then in this we learn that it's actually whatever the heck the MCU is, like 01999, right? Doctor Strange says it in the movie. And then what's interesting is Baron Mordo, who everyone forgot about.
Yes.
Right? But they recasted him in this, and it's a Jamie Foxx now, right? And he comes in. And I don't know why they gave him a Louisiana accent.
It was so strange that they made Baron Mordo. They recast him as Jamie Foxx, gave him a different accent. But actually, you know, it kind of flies.
I kind of like it.
It kind of has a little bit of a twang to it, and it gives him some flavor.
He flavor like gumbo and shrimp,
exactly.
Which he keeps eating through the
All
whole
the time.
Movie.
It's his favorite food.
It's his favorite thing.
Must be.
Even but, before their big climactic battle, he's like,
Before we fight,
would you like to have some of my gumbo and shrimp?
Gumbo.
But yeah, Doctor Strange ends up saying the N-word, and that's actually what causes the whole battle to start.
That's why See, the movie starts in the South. That's why Baron Mordo is there, and he's got the accent or whatever. But then Doctor Strange says he drops the N-bomb in the South, and it doesn't really fly. A lot of angry blacks.
Yeah, it's not just Mordo.
No.
It's all of Louisiana.
All of Louisiana.
And the best part is, though, what I love, that's when you realize, wait, we're in a different universe.
Exactly.
And then we, like, kind of zoom out into the galaxies, and then we zoom, and then the person that's watching this is the Watcher.
The Watcher.
Up in space. And guess who cameos with him? Stan Lee.
There it is. That's a Stan Lee cameo.
But then when we zoom back into the regular universe that we're usually in, Doctor Strange is sitting there and he's like, I wonder where Mordo is. And then Mordo blows up the Sanctum Sanctorum and then Wong dies. Right? And you wouldn't think. You wouldn't think. But then it gets even better because Doctor Strange has to find a new house, basically.
Yeah.
And he moves in with the guy who is a cameo of Steve Ditko, right? And Steve Ditko, so that's when you realize we're in a different universe.
Yeah.
Because the cameos aren't Stan Lee now.
No,
it's Steve Ditko, right? And then, of course, later you see the Jack Kirby universe and then the Todd McFarlane one. That one's really weird because, Spawn's there. But it's a weird throwaway gag of Spawn. But, you know, we won't spoil anything, but, like, the fight with Skathen the Approver at the end.
Amazing.
I did not expect that.
Amazing.
Yeah,
amazing.
And it's a callback to Eternals because Skathen was there in the background, but they didn't want to bring him because they figured not a lot of people would know who Skathen is, even because Skathen showed up in one comic book. That is actually true.
You know what scene was really interesting in Doctor Strange in the Multiverse?
What?
So, do you remember? It's kind of like that the first episode of Futurama, you know, where Nibbler puts
right,
the chair.
Right.
So, It's in the Sanctum Sanctorum, right?
Uh-huh.
And you see Doctor Strange and, you know, the place gets blown up by Baron Mordo, right? But in the background, right, if you look carefully, you can actually see Baron Mordo and Doctor Strange fighting in the background, bro. Like, it's wild. And it doesn't happen. It wouldn't happen unless he blew up the Sanctum. It's so crazy.
See, it's so funny. Like, we might get in trouble for telling you these spoilers, but, like, no, that one was sick. And you know the other one, though? See, I thought you were going to talk about how when Doctor Strange was driving. So we do, like, a Back to the Future 2 kind of thing. Or, like okay?
Yes!
So when he's driving, right? And then what happens is he gets a text message from somebody about, oh, I got to do the surgery. And he's like, nah, I'm not doing that. I don't want to break my permanent record. So remember how he's texting and driving, and then he crashes his car? Well, on the outside, it turns out Doctor Strange himself was standing on the outside of that highway and he sticks his foot out and he trips the car.
Bro, that scene was actually really trippy. I honestly
I'm gonna pass out, bro.
I was beyond myself. Anyways,
Black Panther 2.
No, Thor Love and Thunder. Jeez.
Thor Love and Thunder. Valkyrie is a lesbian in this one.
Yeah, Valkyrie.
And not even, like, bisexual. No, she is a lesbian.
Full-on lesbian.
She does that side haircut thing, you know?
Jane Foster's back, and
she's the lesbian with her.
Yeah, she's lesbian with Valkyrie. Yeah, it's very interesting.
Thor's still fat.
Yeah, Thor's still fat. Thor, he's not worthy anymore.
Yeah. It's all about Jane Foster,
yeah,
really.
It turns out Jane Foster's actually the worthy one, and she can carry the hammer with her sidekick, Valkyrie.
Yep.
And, like, that's the whole thing.
But they have to hold the hammer at the same time in order for it to work.
Yes.
They're half worthy.
It's a buddy cop movie.
Yeah, it really is.
Honestly, you think it sounds bad, but it's very fun.
It's very fun. It's very Iron Man 3.
Yes.
But it's Thor.
Yes.
And Thor's not in it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beta Ray Bill's in it, though.
Yeah.
If you like Beta Ray Bill, I mean.
And Thunderstrike makes a post-credit scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Next.
Black Panther 2. Okay, so I was really shocked that instead of just, you know, finding a way to let T'Challa die,
yeah,
they went and recasted him with Terrence Howard.
Yeah, was very interesting.
Very confusing choice.
Quite the weird choice to recast Black Panther with Rhodey as T'Challa, but hey, you know what?
Multiverse of Madness explains everything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because in another multiverse, T'Challa is
Terrence Howard.
Rhodey.
Yeah. Oh, they're the same person.
Exactly.
I forgot about
Rhodey,
that.
right? In the other universe is also War Machine and Black Panther.
Right, right.
But like,
and the suit's made of vibranium.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So he comes from that universe over here, and now it's there's two Rhodey's, one that looks like
Terrence Howard Terrence and one Howard, that looks like Don Cheadle.
Don Cheadle, right?
Right.
But there's two War Machines,
yeah,
and one Black Panther. It's crazy.
It's crazy. And like, you'd think that the movie would be more about Black Panther, but really it's a War Machine movie.
Exactly.
Right?
It's like, but we,
and there's no villain.
It's what you wanted, though.
Yeah.
We've wanted a War Machine movie for so long.
Seriously, though. They gave Black Widow a movie before War Machine.
What are you doing?
Honestly. And yeah, there's no villain in this one.
No, no villain.
The conflict is more like personal. Like, yeah, you know, what does it mean to be a king? What, yeah, what does it mean to rule a country?
What does it mean to be from a different universe and rule from one universe in this one, you know? And also be two superheroes at once while hiding your identity.
And how does that work when you only have one wife, but there's three of you?
Exactly.
It's interesting.
It's wild.
I know. Captain Marvel 2. Okay, you know what? That kid was right. They made a callback to the TV show. Okay? So Kamala Khan is in this movie, and so is Monica Rambeau, so I guess I was wrong. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I guess I was wrong. They actually brought the characters. Okay? Now, this movie, I'm glad they got Taika Waititi to direct it.
Yes.
Instead of who the heck directed the first Captain Marvel.
I couldn't tell you.
Because this one was, you know, it felt, it had more of that Thor feel.
Yeah, 100%. It was really fun. It was a fun movie.
I like the scene where they play Hit Me Baby by Britney Spears. I guess they're still going with the 90s music, even though the year is 2022 in this movie.
It's very weird because they do play Hit Me Baby, but if you listen carefully, there are modern jingles, right? Yeah. Instrumental versions of modern songs, mm-hmm, done as backing songs.
Yeah.
So like, they'll put like Hit Me Baby and other 90s bangers, but like, laced in there, you got Drop It Like It's Hot, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's only like,
yeah,
and it's like missing beats. You wouldn't tell,
you wouldn't know
if you didn't know the song,
true,
right?
And then one that surprised me was the instrumental. It went like, no, it wasn't an instrumental. The big climactic battle when she fights the ice monster,
yeah,
right? Which is a callback to Thor, the first Thor,
yes.
And it's so funny because the song that plays in the background, I don't know why, but it's like a choir version because, you know, like they're in Asgard at this point and it's a big choir version and it's, yeah, like, shake it fast, watch it first, shake it fast, show me what you're working with. I couldn't believe they chose that song of all the ones. How did they get the royalty?
No, you're actually 100% right, and I think it made the movie better. I honestly think
absolutely. The soundtrack carried
the soundtrack
this movie.
Like, And for some strange reason, Brie Larson was able to bring it back together.
Yeah, she wore a thong in the post-credit scene, and Cisco came in.
Yeah, that thong. It was so good. Like, I'm not gonna
they
lie.
Fixed the first one. All right, and then we have Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. If you thought the second one was bad.
I know how we told you that the directors and the film companies send us movies to, go over and review or whatever. This one we reviewed as much as we could. We couldn't make it any better,
and it was very hard to review it after we just returned it.
Exactly.
We didn't want it anymore.
They kind of gave it to us and we gave it back.
You just gave it right back.
We were just like, look, you don't even have to show us this, work on it some more.
To quote my high school self after being asked why I wasn't able to submit a good book report, I said, you'll find it quite difficult to write a report on a book you haven't read.
Exactly.
Moving on. Moon Knight.
So
this was a TV show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, is it the same people that did the Cloak and Dagger thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess they learned their lesson.
It's actually kind of good.
You know, it deals with psychology a lot more than I expected to. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it gets a little nervous where it's like, is this even Moon Knight anymore?
It's very weird how psychological the show can be, mm-hmm, because he's got like 9,000 different personalities living in his
head. Yeah, it's like
head.
Split, right? Yeah. Like M. Night Shyamalan?
It's just like that. And it's just every episode, it's one actor playing a different character, mm-hmm, but as the same actor. It just blows my mind. He's got range.
No,
he has range.
Yeah, man.
Who is this guy?
Good old Lance Bass.
Lance Bass?
Bass, that guy. He was in a boy band years ago.
Wasn't he the guy that's in Gossip Girl?
I don't know.
But yeah, nah, he's got range, bro.
I know, you wouldn't think too.
He's got mad range, and I was honestly like surprised that this man was just such a solid Moon Knight.
Moon Knight,
like his gambling addiction and everything, like.
And also, Taskmaster shows up in this, but it's not a lady this time. And I know a lot of feminists weren't happy about that when they saw that. But, you know, it's okay.
Yeah.
I'm not mad.
Oh, and you were right. Lance Bass is from NSYNC.
NSYNC, yeah. And,
that's why they had his musical part. The musical episode.
You know, I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I didn't think of that. But, yeah, that made sense.
A whole musical episode because, like, it's all set in Las Vegas, right? And he's doing a whole show. He's up there singing. And then someone breaks in and he has to become Moon Knight on the spot.
Wow.
It's a good episode.
So, we're almost done. There's She-Hulk. Okay, so now I really want to talk about this show because I loved it because Eliza Dushku finally came back into acting.
Oh my gosh.
And
yes.
What I love is that she once voiced She-Hulk in the Hulk cartoon.
Yeah.
Hulk and the Agents of Smash. Didn't care for the show, but Eliza Dushku was She-Hulk. Dushko. So it's cool that they just brought her right back. My favorite scene by far is when she's in the courtroom, because remember, She-Hulk's a lawyer.
Lawyer, yeah.
She's in the courtroom, and she's doing this case on somebody, and, and then someone walks in the room, and you hear, like, and they stand right next to She-Hulk, and it's like, okay, the court is now in session, and She-Hulk's like, what, who? And she turns, and it's Charlie Cox as Daredevil.
Yeah.
And it's like, that makes so much sense. They're both lawyers.
They finally brought him back. Like, you're not just going to throw away a perfect actor for Daredevil.
Exactly. But you can tell he's been out of the role for a long time because he keeps his glasses on the whole time.
Yeah.
So you don't have to really look at his eyes.
Exactly.
Maybe he didn't want to wear the contacts.
He's a little bit older.
Oh, yeah. It's been 5 years.
What I really liked about She-Hulk is that she's always green.
Yeah.
And no one draws any attention
Never
to it.
Jennifer
it's,
again.
It's just like, she's constantly green, but she's still a lawyer and
does
all of her work and whatever.
Yep.
But the best part, the best episode was like episode 7, right? Where she's doing her lawyer thing, right? And one of the people that she's prosecuting is a criminal, like a supervillain. And he breaks from the stand, right? Just, rah! And She-Hulk, right? She says, oh, not again. And grabs him and rips his spine out of his back.
It was very graphic.
It was super graphic, but I was like, that's She-Hulk.
I couldn't believe they put that on Disney Plus.
I could.
And then one of our last two, both of them are Guardians of the Galaxy. So there was the Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special, and then there was Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, which is 2023. So the holiday special.
Can I just say, it was really weird to watch the holiday special in the middle of spring.
Yeah, maybe the festive season just wasn't with us.
No.
It was weird that like Peter Quill had eggnog and like shared it with everyone. Like, is there space eggnog?
Yeah, like where did they get the eggs?
How does that work?
Where did they get the milk?
And then he believes in Santa Claus, even though he knows he's in space.
What do you mean?
I think they forgot that this doesn't take place on Earth when they wrote the script.
Like, so why did they choose the Guardians for the holiday special?
Because Star Wars did it first.
And they're owned by Disney now.
Yeah.
That makes so much sense.
I guess
Rocket Raccoon is the most like closest thing to a reindeer.
I guess.
So
then why do they have Groot at the front of the ship at the end? Yeah, and then they like kind of.
Was this done by James Gunn?
I don't think so.
Yeah, see, that's probably the issue.
Yeah, I think this was M. Night Shyamalan, actually. I know. This guy. But I will say, the post-credit scene was the best thing.
Oh my gosh. This post-credit scene was the only post-credit scene that actually connected every single movie.
Everything.
Every movie. It was the longest post-credit scene. The post-credit scene for Guardians of the Galaxy, the holiday special, was legitimately 30 minutes, while the holiday special was 10. You sat there and you watched Star-Lord, Gamora, Drax, and all of them get their Christmas presents, wait for Santa, and that was it. After that, it was the most mind-blowing spoilers for the next 30 minutes, I'm telling you.
And it was telling us about movies we haven't even seen
Junior,
yet.
Junior, you can't tell him about any of this.
Okay. It was awesome, though, the post-credit scene.
We're already giving him so much information.
I know. Marvel's going to hate us. Okay, and then finally, 2023. This is where we are now.
Yep.
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. Mm. Okay, so it's cool to see that they completely retcon the ego thing, and they're like, actually, Quill, your father is Jason.
Jason, yeah.
And then he was like, wait, then who did we kill? Right? And then you remember the Aisha, the golden lady?
Yeah.
Her whole posse still hates the Guardians. Yeah. And it's funny that they kind of just ignored that in the holiday special. Like, where were they?
Yeah, why didn't they show up?
How come none of the bad guys were after the Guardians at all, right?
Didn't make sense. But hey, I guess it was Christmas time. Holiday spirit.
So Jason meets Peter Quill, and it's like, okay, look, I'm going to tell you something really cool, guy. It also doesn't explain how Quill was able to use the god powers on the planet, but whatever. Jason, he's like, hey, little kid, dude, Yeah, and he's like a stoner. He's like just out of his mind.
Yeah, Jason was a stoner.
Yeah, he's just complete deadbeat. So Yondu's still impactful, right? Yeah. But Jason tells him, hey, remember how you burned those ashes of that guy, that blue guy? I saw you. I was in another ship.
Yeah.
I was one of the Ravagers, right? And I told Yondu to take good care of you, and I was there for that. And it's like, remember when you got the Power Stone? I was on the ship for that, too.
I was there. Yeah.
I was there, okay? All those Michael Jackson songs and everything. Watch. And then he kicked his leg up, and he started dancing like he started dancing just like Michael Jackson. And then the world wasn't ready for this. Jason takes off his helmet.
Jason takes off his helmet.
And it's cool that Marvel was the first people to reveal this to the entire world.
Yep.
He takes off his helmet, and it's Michael Jackson.
I was blown away. I was shook. Junior, Disney was the first one to reveal that Michael Jackson wasn't dead.
Uh-huh.
Like,
see, there was more to the movie, but I'm telling you, that scene was well worth the price of admission. And he was just like,
and we didn't even pay.
I know. And the crazy thing is, like, see, the helmet was what was changing his voice, because you'd think, oh, we know Michael's voice.
We all know Michael's voice.
But the helmet was what made it sound different. Mm. He sounded like David Hasselhoff in the helmet, which is cool, because, like, Peter Quill, remember, he had the little picture.
Yeah,
it was so interesting. Michael Jackson's still alive.
Michael Jackson's still alive. Yeah. He's Peter Quill's father. His name is Jason.
He's been hiding all this time. Where has Michael been? See, like, the movie happened, but, like, all you're thinking about is how did Michael, like...
You see, that's the crazy thing about these MCU movies. Like, you love the movie, but, like, you're left questioning so much more at the end of them, you know? Like...
And then, you know, they got a little greedy and they brought Tupac back at the end of the post-credits scene. But, like, who's he going to play?
Nah, it didn't. It didn't.
It when didn't. They, you got Michael Jackson.
When they brought Tupac back, I was just like, look, you guys are reaching.
Yeah. Enough is enough, okay? Let sleeping dogs lie.
Everyone knows that Tupac is in Cuba.
Yeah.
So.
Why'd you dig him out? And now the gang's going to be after him.
Everyone's going to be after him.
Yeah.
I was upset with Marvel and Disney for doing that to Tupac. But I understand. I get it. Mm-hmm. I see where they're coming from. But the Biggie fans aren't going to be very happy.
No, right?
They're not going to be very happy.
You're going to bring anyone back. Bring back, like, Aaliyah.
Yeah. Nobody hates Aaliyah.
No.
Everyone loves
Aaliyah. We're all cool with Aaliyah.
Everyone loves Aaliyah.
Man. James Gunn, though.
Yeah.
Only James Gunn would bring Michael Jackson back.
Hey. It's James Gunn, though. Yeah. You know, like, we talk crap about him, but he does some
sometimes,
good stuff.
And the post-credits scene, though.
Yeah.
I was really shocked to see there was a freezing time capsule thing, right?
Mm.
And out of it walked Walt Disney himself.
Yo, when I saw that, I felt like I was waiting years to have Walt Disney walk out of the cryo tube. It's like I was waiting years. I've always known that he was there in Disneyland.
It makes sense. But then... his jaw opens and it falls right off. And then you get a big title card that says Marvel Zombies. So I guess that's going to be the next movie.
Yo, I'm
why is Walt Disney Patient Zero? We don't know.
We don't know. Look, we just get these movies. We don't
get
anything.
We don't
get
any information, no pamphlets, nothing.
Nothing.
We didn't even watch them in order.
Nope.
you're actually supposed to start with Captain Marvel too.
Yeah. We like what did we start with? We started with what? Spider-Man No Way Home?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we started with that just to see what would happen.
It makes sense that way, right? But apparently that's not the right order. Yeah. But anyway, this has been good. It's been a good talk. I hope you guys enjoyed it.
I hope you guys enjoyed it too. This very special episode of Junior Marcus Talk. It's a very long episode. we talk about a lot.
Yeah.
I hope you guys enjoy it.
Just remember, guys. When more MCU movies come out, we'll be sure to talk about them. Bye.
Bye.